I don't have my date, but I remember to report. Guess what?
Finishing Daniel.
We're finishing Daniel. You did it.
He thought you said we were finished.
No, oh, sorry, not quite finished. Then. So today we're in chapter 12, and today's message I actually gave a title. It's going to be aptly titled, The Time of the End. And if you look in your Bible, in my Bible, in the header for this chapter, it actually says, The Time of the End. It's a perfect segue for us to move from the book of Daniel to the book of Revelation. So we're going to just jump right in this morning, and we're going to read all of chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such has never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. So that chapter is, for me, probably one of the most exciting chapters in the entire book. It's really cool because it's really confusing. Right?
Yeah.
I'm thoroughly confused.
Yeah. So there's so much happening. And it is a perfect chapter to end on right before going to Revelation, because this chapter, I feel like, should be in Revelation. It shouldn't be in Daniel. But, and I think I've said this before, Daniel is kind of the Revelation of the Old Testament. So I understand why it's here. Okay, so we're going to break it down, and we're pretty much going to go verse by verse, because I feel like even though this is a short chapter, it's a confusing one, and it's important for us to understand. If you'll recall, from chapter 10 all the way through the end of 12, who is the speaker? Gabriel. So Gabriel is the one speaking all of chapter 12, except for the portion where Daniel says, So I, Daniel, saw this. So Gabriel is finishing his telling of what is in the book of truth, which is what we talked about last time. When we wrapped chapter 11, we saw that Gabriel was telling Daniel, you know, I have to go back to Persia. There's still the prince there that I need to deal with, but before I go, I'm going to tell you what's written here. But first, we have to understand where Gabriel is starting at the beginning of chapter 12, because if you were to read chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12 all together, you're going to be confused because it's jumping. Gabriel opens the chapter by saying, At that time shall arise. Well, if you'll recall, when we finished chapter 11, we were talking about Antiochus IV and his ultimate demise, right? His war path, where he set up his tents, and then how he died of a bowel disease, right? That's how he ended chapter 11. But now Gabriel's saying, at that time shall arise. He's not talking about after the death of Antiochus. So we kind of have to go back through chapter 11 to figure out where that connecting tissue is. He's actually referencing all the way back to verse 35 in chapter 11. 35 says, and some of the wise shall stumble, so that they may be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits the appointed time. We know that because as we read in chapter 12, it becomes immediately clear that the context of chapter 12 doesn't match Antiochus IV's warpath. It doesn't, something is missing. So we have to go back until we find that natural break, which happens at verse 35. In fact, you could lift verses 36 and 45 out and start reading through chapter 11, jump from verse 35 all the way to verse 1 of chapter 12, and you're not going to miss a beat. It is connective there. So what happens to those who were refined and purified, which is what we read about in verse 35 of chapter 11? And Gabriel says that Michael is the one who has oversight over Israel in the end of days. And that there's going to be significant trouble, trouble so bad like they've never seen before. And which is saying a lot, because what did he just tell Daniel they're going to go through? This Antiochus guy, who sounds pretty terrible. But this trouble is going to be even worse. But Gabriel says there's hope for Israel, because in those final days, Israel will be delivered. And those whose name shall be found written in the book are going to be delivered from all of the evil things that they're going to face. What book do you suppose Gabriel is referring to? The Book of Life. Some time ago, when Katie was here, she actually spoke a little bit about how the Israelites and Jews keep meticulous records, genealogies. Even today, most Jews have records of which tribe they belong to. It's so important because, number one, it serves to prove their identity as a Jew. And it, as a result, proves that they were chosen by God, right? The Book of Life is no different. Our names being in that Book of Life is proof that we were chosen by God. So that's the Book of Life he's talking about. Additionally, much like the Jewish genealogies that they keep and records that they keep, because of the proof of birth and the proof of the tribe that they belong to, it also outlines the inheritance that they are promised from God. Just like for us, our inheritance is promised in the Book of Life. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that during our study of Revelation. But that is the book that Gabriel's referring to, saying their name shall be found written in the book. He goes on to explain that it's not just those who are living at that time of the end, but those who have passed away, those who are in the dust. He says that they're going to wake. And some of them are going to wake to everlasting life. And some of them are going to wake to judgment. So those that awake will awake for heaven, or they will awake for hell. Both very real places. What's interesting about this being brought up in the book of Daniel is that the resurrection of Jesus hasn't happened yet. So the concept of people raising from their graves, can you imagine being someone who's like, what? Dead people are going to come? They're going to, what? Right? After Jesus' death and resurrection, the idea of rising from the dead, it's not that foreign to you and I. I mean, we have the opportunity of having seen the first person to ever do it, right? Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection that will occur at the time of the end. That's all of those who have been buried waking again. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 23, Paul writes, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came to death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. So Paul is reinforcing what Gabriel is telling Daniel. Christ has risen. So when he comes again, everyone else is going to rise too. It's going to be a hard concept for the Israelites of the time. For us, thankfully, we have the history and the knowledge. So let's talk about verse 3 for just a minute. Verse 3 says, "And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." I got kind of hung up on this one for a little while because I'm like, is this really saying what I think this is saying? For me, I think this is an inkling. So my whole Christian life, I've been told, you know, we get new bodies. We get new bodies. We don't know what those bodies are going to look like. Like, are we just going to be flowing particles of dust? Are we going to actually have bodies where you can stand up and walk? Which I tend to think we're going to have bodies like this. But no one really knows what they're going to look like. But I think we're going to glow.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what this verse is telling us. Remember when we talked about the transfiguration and when Jesus got all glowy? And then Daniel says that Daniel and John say that they saw the man whose face, Daniel says his face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like burnished bronze. And then John says he describes his face as if the sun were at its full strength. That's what his face looked like. Now, I don't think we'll be as glowy, obviously, but I think we get to be glowy. This is a complete sidebar, but it's so cool. So anyway, I'm excited about the idea of being glowy in my glorified state. But more importantly, it also seems like in verse 3 that our appearance is somewhat determined on how we live our life, which we are going to talk more about when we get into our Revelation study. But it says, "And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Well, I think that is an indication that it is important how we live out our righteousness here. And so I think our level of glowy maybe depends on, this is all conjecture. Like, I can't confirm, but this is what I'm hearing from this verse. Depending on how we live out our righteousness depends on our level of glowy. That you never thought you'd hear that in church. I think that there's a deeper rooted meaning to this, which we will study when we get to Revelation. I want to be clear. Salvation does not require works. That is not what this is saying. But God does intend for our salvation to be shared, and he rewards those who shares that salvation. So ultimately, that is what we're reading here, is that our salvation, living out our righteousness, is rewarded. Maybe not in level of glowy, but I would like to think so. And if you think about it from a saying perspective, like, if you are happy, if you have a glow about you, people are drawn to that, right? So it's like moths to a flame. Like, we want to have a glowing personality. We want to be somebody that people are like, man, I want to know what's going on with that person, because they look happy. They look like they got it going on, and I want some of that, right? So as we continue on, Gabriel tells Daniel to shut up the words in the book and seal it. So there must be something that Daniel was given that he didn't write down in his book. There's got to be something that he was told to seal, because it's not ready for now. It's for the time of the end. Gabriel tells Daniel again later on in chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, to seal it up. Every translation that I've read says that Gabriel tells Daniel to seal it in a book. And this is an interesting note that's going to become more clear as we go through our study of Revelation. But how did they store books back in? Yeah, they were scrolls. One of the most famous being the Dead Sea Scrolls. Which is interestingly enough, the Dead Sea Scrolls contains one of the earliest manuscripts of the book of Daniel. So Daniel's writing down whatever this thing is that he's being told, and then he's sealing it in a scroll that will be for the time of the end. And we don't know how much additional information. Could be a small amount, little tiny little tidbits that aren't ready to be revealed yet. Or it could be a whole book. Who knows? But whatever it was, I am assuming Daniel did not write it in his book that we have found, because it's not time yet for that to be revealed. So let's continue on to verse 5. I promise we'll make it to the end of the chapter this morning. I want to go verse by verse, because this chapter, being so confusing, is really important to our Revelation study, and we are going to come back to this one along with a couple others, but it's too important not to. All right, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. A time, times, and half a time. Do you remember what that means? Because we talked about this earlier. No, that was the weeks. A time is one. Time times is two, and half a time would be 0.5. So 1 plus 2 plus 0.5 is 3.5. All the terrible things will happen in 3.5 years. And afterwards, they will be finished. He goes on to be way more specific in verse 11. He says, from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That is 3.5 years. Time, times, and half a time. From between the ending of the temple sacrifices and the profaning of the temple, which we're going to learn about in Revelation. But through all of it, what Gabriel is saying is God's in control the entire time. But these things have to happen. I want to compare this passage to one in Revelation, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and what is in it, the earth and what is in it, and the sea and what is in it. And there would be no more delay, but that in the days of the trumpet call to be sounded by the seventh angel, the mystery of God would be fulfilled, just as he announced to his servants and prophets. That sounds eerily familiar, right? Sounds kind of like what Daniel said. He saw this, when Daniel saw it, it was the man clothed in linen who raised his hands to and swore by him who lives forever that these things would be finished. I was gonna wait, because this is a really cool fact for our Revelation study, but it's too cool not to share now. We'll study it again when we study Revelation, but I want to read on a little bit further in Revelation chapter 10. Let's start at verse 8. Then the voice that I heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, go, take the scroll that is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and I told him to give me the little scroll. And he said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. And I took the little scroll from the hand of the angel and ate it. It was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten, my stomach was made bitter. And I was told, you must again prophesy about many peoples and nations and languages and kings. Who does Gabriel say is the prince over the people of Israel?
Michael.
Who was Daniel's prince?
Michael.
So let's assume Daniel sealed up this scroll that wasn't meant to be opened until it was time for these things to be revealed at the end of days. And he gave it to someone he knew could protect it until that time. Who would that be?
Michael.
Michael. So it's not too much of a stretch to think that the angel standing with one foot in the sea and one foot on the land was none other than who? And who wrote the scroll that John just swallowed?
Daniel.
What a cool connection. So that brings us to the end of Daniel chapter 12. Now there's one more little tidbit that I want to touch on. If you'll notice the very end, it says, blessed, gotta find it, hang on. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335th day, but go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. That is 45 days after the 3.5 years. And that is important because when we do our study in Revelation, you're going to notice there's a time gap between the end of the 7 years and the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And it's right about 45 days. There's a whole, it's, Revelation is going to be so exciting. I do want to give a disclaimer though. As we wrap up today and we gear up next week to dive into the study of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that offers a blessing to those who study it. Because of that, very clearly, it is going to be an incredible study and an incredibly important book for us to understand. But we need to be prepared as a church because if we're getting blessed for studying a book, things are going to happen that are just going to seem harsh. And it's entirely possible that we will fight some spiritual battles during this study. But we have a strong group. We pray together. We support one another. We're encouraging. And as long as we stay strong in our faith, we continue our prayers, we continue our studies, we're going to get through the study of this book and we're going to come out on the other end so encouraged, with such peace for what's coming in our future, and we'll be better for it. The other thing that I just want to highlight, because the question popped in my brain and so it might have popped in yours, is Gabriel told Daniel that scroll was for the end of days. If John ate that scroll and we're reading it now, we're already in the end of days. So that's important also, knowing as we go into this study of Revelation that we're here. We're at the end of days. We're at the end of the time. So at some point between now and the millennial kingdom, there's going to be a tribulation. Now, whether we are here to see it or not, we'll talk through that. But again, Revelation is one of the books that's probably the least studied, which kind of blows my mind. But it is scary to think about. I mean, especially as a young Christian, you hear that Revelation is this Armageddon-type book that you're going to have to go through as a Christian, and that's not quite what it is. It's scary to want to read about something as a Christian, as a follower of God, thinking you're going to have to endure the horrible things that are written in this book. I'm here to tell you, we don't have to endure it. But that's part of why we need to study it, is so that we can fully understand what that actually means. So keep your prayers strong. Keep in your word through this next study, and lean on one another as a community as we go through this and learn together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for such a strong group to go through and study together, to ask questions, to learn through your word, to share insights. Father, I pray that as we go forward and we continue our study in your word, that you keep opening our hearts, keep opening our minds, and providing us with your wisdom so that we can share it here and outside these walls. Father, as we leave today, I know some of us may have things on our hearts and things that we're going through or will face through the week. Father, I just pray that you be with each of us and bring peace upon us, keep us strong, and lift them up. Lord, we pray specifically for Amanda's dad and Amanda, that you can just lay hands on both of them and on doctors and nurses and those involved as her dad struggles with his heart, Father. Bring him healing, bring him comfort, bring him peace, and be with Amanda as she works to stay strong and to support through all of this, Lord. Father, I pray that you be with those who are here and those who aren't here with us today for any need that they may have. And thank you again for your son and for your word and prophecies and remaining faithful to your promises. In Jesus' name we pray.